Let's turn to Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, 1-3, the first book in the New Testament. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name does begin and rhymes with Clark, but it begins with M, not C. Over to you, Pastor Craig. I do want to give also a word of just consolation to those who have lost loved ones as well. We do grieve with Mike Horgan and his family, but we also grieve with a number in our congregation who have lost loved ones. And we do recognize it's a time of grief. So for the Bailey family, for the Hudgel family as well, we want to express our condolences to them as well. We have an odd-looking tree in our backyard. For many years, it was highly shaded on one side of the tree by a large tree in our neighbor's yard. So this mango tree that we have is kind of lopsided, and you can see a bit of picture there. You can sort of see it's kind of leaning over like that. Each year, it really only produced a handful of mangoes. Last year, our neighbor removed their tree, and our mango tree this year was exceedingly fruitful. We were blessed with, must be 40 or so mangoes at least off this tree. So from a handful to a bumper crop of 30 or 40, that was wonderful. Apparently, more exposure to the light of the sun promoted greater fruitfulness in our mango tree. Well, Jesus' parable of the sower describes a similar effect to the sowing of God's word in people's lives. Seeds sown in the lives of some kinds of people, seeds sown in the lives of people produces different kinds of results. In fact, in only one type in our parable is there great fruitfulness. The life of the person blessed with understanding yields bountiful fruit. Like the full sun's effect on our now unshaded mango tree, understanding is a blessing from God that promotes fruitfulness in our lives. Those not given understanding are unfruitful. Those given understanding are blessed, and they bear fruit. So how will we bear fruit? Well, we need to hear, we need to be blessed with understanding, and then we will bear fruit. So really the first question for us to think about is, did we hear? Those people in Jesus' day and us today, do you hear? In chapter 13, Jesus presents a series of parables. This whole chapter is a lot of parables told to great crowds of people. And there are all kinds of people in the crowd. There are the disciples. There are the leaders of the Jewish people. There are the public at large, just all kinds of a mix of people. And most of the people in the great crowd, they heard the raw parable of the sower that we read in verses 1 to 9. They heard just the parable. And they heard it probably like when you're watching a foreign film, you know, where you can see everything, but it doesn't have any captions or subtitles. You know, it's a bit like that. Most people, like you and I, would see the scenery. We would see the actions. But if we can't understand the language that is spoken and there's no captions, then you really don't understand what's going on. You can't understand the dialogue or the meaning of the film. Now, Jesus, he's the greatest teacher that ever lived. A master who used common, everyday events or activities to explain truth. In Matthew 13, he uses a variety of field and farming parables. And as Jesus tells this parable from the boat on the shore to the crowd, this great crowd around him, he says, a sower sowed seed, and he scattered it across many types of soil. Some of it not even soil, right? Just a path. And the practice of sowing in Jesus' day is different to how many farmers, modern farmers, will plant. You know, one seed in a hole or in a furrow, you put a row of seeds. So the method back then was different. It might even seem wasteful to us, but don't let that distract you from what the parable is teaching. Jesus mentions the difficulties that this seed scattering encounters. Some seed, the first difficulty, some seed becomes bird food. Now, it's nice to feed birds, right? How many of you have bird food? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, a lot of people have bird feeders at home. We like to feed the birds. But you know that for a sower, They feed their families and they make their income off of a crop, off of fruit. So to the sower, any seed that gets taken away by the birds is wasted. The next difficulty mentioned by Jesus is the rocky soil. That seed landed and there was no place for it to establish roots. So the sun scorched those young plants. They dried up and again, they bore no fruit. Likewise, the seed that fell among the thorns. It was scattered, but then it was choked out by the thorns and it again produced no fruit. Finally, though, Jesus tells the happy ending. There is good soil into which the seed fell. It produced grain and fruitful quantities. Look at it, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Any of those kinds of amounts, if you've sowed one seed and you get 30 or 60 or 100 times more out of it, then you know any type of those results are great results for somebody's work. And then Luke tells us in verse 9, everyone went home very glad that the story had a happy ending for the sower and his seed. Is that what it says? No, absolutely not. That is not how Jesus ends the parable. There's a twist here in verse 9. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. Of course, now everyone in the crowd, like you all here, have probably two ears, right? Jesus knows that. That's not what he's getting at, whether you have ears or not. He was, in fact, challenging the people, as a good teacher would. His parable offers a very important lesson. Anyone who heard needs to pay attention to what Jesus just said, so that they understand, so that they could hear the kingdom of heaven truth in that parable. Those with ears, they understand. To those without ears, the truth remains hidden. Now, if you and I were there that day, would we hear or would we not hear? Jesus says the difference between hearing and not hearing is what we bring comes to our second point. Are you blessed? Are you blessed with understanding? Here it is, Jesus' star pupils, the disciples, his followers. Here they ask him in verse 10 an excellent question. Why do you speak to them in parables? Is what they ask Jesus. You see, in their eyes, they may be concerned that many people in the crowd would have no clue as to what Jesus was talking about. And Jesus confirms their concerns with several astonishing admissions. Look at what he says in verse 11. He says, you have been given understanding, he says to the disciples. So the disciples' understanding of the kingdom of heaven is a gift. And it's not given to everyone. That's what we see in verse 11. What do we see in verse 12? Well, the people that are given this great gift, what does he tell them? For the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. While those without the gift, they're impoverished, and they're actually left empty. That's what he tells us in verse 12. In verse 13, he goes on and he says, Jesus' parables, they are intentionally given to hide the kingdom of heaven truth from people. And that fulfills scripture. Look at what he says in verse 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. I tell them to hide the truth. Because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, they do not, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, this fulfills the prophecy spoken in Isaiah. This fulfills scripture. Jesus' teaching method in parables fulfills scripture. It's pretty confronting, isn't it? This being the case, as we learned earlier, people who do not understand the parable, they are not going to bear fruit. And Jesus knows that. And then Jesus quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, to reinforce his point. If you want to go back there, you can look at Isaiah, have it open in front of you, Isaiah 6. And he quotes from this passage. Now, we may flinch at the punch of Jesus' point here. But before running away and just trying to reject it and say, no, no, that can't be what's going on, consider Isaiah 6, 1 to 7 that we had read earlier. Isaiah saw the holy, holy, holy one high and exalted on his throne. The train of this holy one of our God, the train of his robe filled the temple. And the vision that he saw of God, that Isaiah saw of God, convinced him that he was a man of unclean lips who lived among a people of unclean lips. And he was undone. ESV says he was lost. He said, I am lost. And then a coal was taken from the altar. And it was brought over and it touched Isaiah's lips. And he was cleansed. What's going on? Well, Isaiah was being cleansed in the mercy of God. Following this merciful cleansing, Isaiah was commissioned to speak to Judah, that is the southern kingdom of Israel, to speak to Judah for God. The northern kingdom of Israel was about to be carried away into the Assyrian captivity because they repeatedly, over and over again, refused to listen to God. And Judah is being warned they are going to get the same treatment unless they hear and embrace Isaiah's warning. So like Judah in Isaiah's day, many Jews in Jesus' day regularly ignored his word. And by this point in Matthew, Jesus has given his Sermon on the Mount. He's healed many. He's calmed the storm. He's given sight to the blind, and he called his disciples, and he sent them out as apostles. In other words, they had the message of Jesus, and they were to go and preach it. It tells us in chapter 10 of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5, that they are to preach this message to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, some received that message, and others did not. But the point is this. Jesus gave his teaching. He proved that his message was from God by the miracles that he did. He sent out apostles with that message to the lost sheep so that they might be rescued. See, Jesus is not callous about the lost. But many who are lost reject God's message to turn and be healed. You see, Jesus' hard truth to the disciples' question in verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? The hard truth is that separation between those who have understanding and those who have not been given understanding. Those who are blessed with understanding respond to God differently than those who are not blessed. The response of those who are not blessed is described in verse 15 of our passage, back in Matthew chapter 13, where he says, their heart is dull, they barely hear, and they close their eyes. Did you catch that? They close their eyes. You may be tempted to think that God condemned them by not blessing them with eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe. However, the people who lived in Jesus' day, they experienced a great blessing that not everyone got to experience, including you and I, including verse 17, where it tells us in Matthew, Look what it says. Many prophets and righteous people long to see Jesus. They long to find Jesus and be in his presence and to see him. And the great crowds in Jesus' day, they physically heard and they saw Jesus, God in the flesh. But they didn't turn. Even with all the miracles, even with all the preaching, they did not turn and become healed. Back to Isaiah, he was an example of someone who saw the Lord, and he turned and was healed. His lips were cleansed. In Isaiah 6, he was given a vision of the Lord that convinced him of his own uncleanness, and he cried out, "I am undone." The Lord had mercy on him. The Lord cleansed him. And then Isaiah was sent to proclaim that message to Judah. But many did not turn to be healed. So the Lord withheld his blessing to understand those warnings. And they became confirmed in their stubbornness of heart. See, Jesus' really hard-hitting teaching serves a double purpose here. Those who are blessed, they hear and they understand God's warning. They turn and receive God's merciful healing. However, those who continue to close their eyes, to close their ears, to close their heart to God's clear warning, to God's clear evidence of who Jesus really is, they are left to future judgment. Now, many here probably at this point are wrestling. Oh, man, he's talking about the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of humans and election and predestination. Don't get distracted. The point here is simple. It's about fruit and fruitfulness. Okay? It's about fruit and fruitfulness. Before we go on, look at the end of verse 15. What is the fruit of an understanding heart? You see with your eyes, you hear with your ears, you understand with your heart, and what? You turn, and the Lord will heal you. Repentance is the fruit of an understanding heart. You turn, and the Lord heals. The Lord cleanses. So, brothers and sisters, friends here, are you fruitful? See, when you understand who the Lord is, that's the understanding God gives. He shows us who he is. He shows us who we are. Like Isaiah, like the disciples, when they were blessed with understanding, then you know the truth of the kingdom of heaven. You do not deserve to be in God's presence. You do not earn your place in God's kingdom by your good works. Isaiah was in the presence of that thrice holy God, our God, who is holy. Everyone in Jesus' day, they saw, they were in the presence of God in the flesh. Those blessed by God with understanding to see, they saw their need to repent of their sin. They saw their need to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God had mercy on them. So to help the disciples, Jesus begins to explain, and really to help us here today, know why some people respond to the preaching of Christ, to the witness of the gospel. Here's the kingdom of heaven truth. Here's how Jesus explains it. Look at your passage from verse 14 on. He talks about the seed that is sown on the path. Why did they not understand? Well, God had not blessed them to see or hear or understand. So the evil one comes. Satan comes and snatches away the word. Satan doesn't want people to see or hear or understand, so he takes away the word. They don't get to hear. And then the rocks. When the seed is sown on the rocks, what stopped them? Well, they hear the word, they receive the word, but there's no root, there's no soil to get those roots down and get nourished and watered. And so they have a very short endurance. Tribulation and persecution comes because of the word. In other words, they start to listen to the word and they wait a minute, I've got to do things and I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get persecuted. I'm going to find tribulation in this. And so they fall away. What's going on? They're afraid. They're afraid of persecution and tribulation. They're afraid of what the world thinks about them instead of fearing God and what God says. What about those in the thorns, the thorny soil? Verse 22, they hear, but then because of the world, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, that chokes out the word of God from being fruitful in their life. What's going on there? They're idolaters. They love the world. They love the world's things more than they love God's word. They don't want to follow God's word. That's going to be hard. They want to have pleasure and joy. And so that chokes out the word. So then it gets into the good soil, right? Why did that bear fruit? Well, because they hear, they understand. The soil is open to receiving. There's not thorns and thistles crowding it out. There's not rocks stopping the soil from doing its job. So they receive the seed and they grow and they bear fruit. That is the fruitful soil. There's two soils that do not bear fruit. In the first soil, it was because of fear of tribulation and persecution. In the other soil, it was the idolatry, wanting this world's things, treasuring the world's things, the loving the world's things. And that scorches the understanding of God's word. That stops it from having its effect. Do you understand? Maybe you're here today. And you are fearful. I think all of us as Christians, we don't really like persecution and tribulation, right? Or maybe you feel like, maybe I am loving the world instead of loving God. If any of this describes you, can I just say, then you are blessed with understanding. Because you see your need. You see that there is a holy God. You see that you are drawn to things that you know you shouldn't be drawn to. Can I say, you have understanding. You are not stuck in a bad soil if you understand your need before a holy God. But can I further challenge you, as Jesus does, I think, here by telling this parable and describing it to the disciples? How are you going to bear fruit? Well, if you love the world, or you're afraid of the world, afraid of persecution and tribulation, you love the things you shouldn't love, you're an idolater, what do you need to do? Well, you need to turn. You need to repent of those things. And you need to turn to Jesus and ask him to help you with your fear, to help you overcome it, to help you with the idolatry that turns your heart away from his word and following it. The sower wants fruitful seed. The fruit that displays God's blessing is understanding. That as we see Jesus and hear his word, we hear that call to repent. Jesus is the Holy One. He is God in the flesh. We have seen that in the scriptures. That is the testimony of God's word. So as his followers, or those who desire to be his followers, we bow before him. We repent. and we live a life of repentance and faith in him. The amount of fruitfulness in our lives, well, that's really up to God. Whether we're 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold, that's up to God. But consider the life of Isaiah. Consider the life of the apostles. They lived repentant and faith-filled lives. They endured persecution. They endured tribulation. They loved Jesus. They loved his word. And they loved his people more than they loved the world or its wealth. They are those who do the will of God. Jesus said earlier, right at the end of chapter 12, these people that are around me in my presence are my brothers and brothers and sisters and fathers, because they are the ones who do the will of God. And the result of Isaiah and the result of the apostles being faithful people who repented and live a life of faith and repentance is generations of believers, you and I here today, because of what the apostles endured, because of what the apostles loved, because of what Isaiah endured. Isaiah, who tradition says was sawn in two, but he endured to the end. And it resulted in generations, even us today, of people who follow Jesus in the same manner, not afraid, not idolatrous, living lives of repentance and faith. So friends, brothers and sisters, are you bearing fruit, living a life of repentance and faith, doing the will of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need to hear this challenge. Bless us with understanding so that we might deepen in our faith. We might not be afraid. We may not be idolatrous, but we would be the good soil that bears fruit for your kingdom, not just now, but for generations to come, if you tarry, and on into eternity, that we would be those who are found faithful, living our lives as you've called us to live by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.